Camp Recreations, and it's show number 17. And today I have been joined on the 19th of March by Ian Bundy, Chris Clayton, and Charlie Winston. Hello, chaps.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And today we're going to hear all about your travels, because everyone's been jetting off to sunnier climes than, mind you, it's been quite sunny here today, than Old Blighty. And the theme of the show is going to be photos from our travels, which will be very interesting. We'll come to that. A reminder to everyone that we do have a website. It's at tedsalmon.com/camera creations, for now at least. And we have a shared Google Photos album where we point people to look at the photographs we're going to be talking about on the show. We still can't think of a better way of doing that, short of making a YouTube video kind of podcast instead of an audio one. So for the time being, we'll continue to do that. Link in the show notes to that, the shared album on Google Photos, Camera Creations, and you'll be able to get there. If you get lost, just go back to the website and you'll find links in there. And they're also in MeWe as well, so you can't go wrong. Before we get to the meat of the show, one bit of feedback from one of our lovely listeners, Rohan Moligoda. He says, I wonder if on the podcast some of the guests would mind talking about what machines they edit their images on, and if they are happy with their setup or are still tweaking it. So what machines, not what software, but what machines. Anyone want to take that from Rohan?
I'll go first if no one else is jumping in. Won't take long for me. I've got a base model MacBook Pro M1, which is 5 years old now, and it is starting to struggle, I'll be honest. So I have an Asus Pro Art 27-inch 4K monitor, which I kind of do most of my editing on, but when the MacBook's powering that, it does struggle if you're in kind of 10-plus masks level in Lightroom or sort of 10 to 20 layers in Photoshop. I think I'm sort of RAM constricted with 16 gigabytes of RAM, and obviously the old M1 Pro was good for its time. It still does a good job, but if you push it too hard, it does slow down. So I am struggling somewhat, and I noticed that when I moved from the A7 IV camera with its 36 megapixel images to the A7 R5 with its 60 megapixel images, there was quite a noticeable performance hit moving all those pixels around. So I am in desperate need of a new laptop, but I just don't have the $3,000 or $4,000 that Apple want to upgrade. So I'm in a kind of a bit of a corner at the moment. So yeah, it's a good question, Ryan. Yeah, because you do need a lot of power for these high megapixel images, but you also need a lot of money to buy something that can deal with it. So I'm a bit stuck.
Right, okay.
But that's me.
Yeah, I've got a MacBook. I think it's probably about 3 years old. It's the M3 Pro. I've got 2 extra gigabytes compared to Chris, 18 for some reason. I'm with Chris. It is a little bit slow, but for day-to-day stuff, it's pretty good. I do have the NVMe drives, external drives connected to it. So I run my Lightroom library off a 4 terabyte. External drive, so everything sits on that. But as I say, it would be nice to get something. I guess if they came out with something OLED, that would be nice, but I think this cost me about $2,000 at the time. So I'm with Chris that you're not going to get better photos and stuff, and I'm happy to put up with a bit of a slower machine and focus that money on cameras and lenses, to be honest. So
okay. Charlie, are you going to break the Apple stronghold?
Well, I mean, I've got four systems, if you include Linux. So I've been experimenting with Affinity Photo on Linux, which has kind of been a mixed bag. But my main operating system for editing photos at the moment is a pre-built Windows PC that I bought for £500, and I put 64 RAM in it and 2 terabytes as well. So It's quite a powerful machine. It's quite small. That's really good for editing in Photoshop and Lightroom if you want many layers like I do. I also have an M1 Mac Studio, which is also very good. But number one, it's Apple. And number two, it's running out of memory. It's only half a terabyte. So with my new cameras, and Chris mentioned I bought an A7R 5, it's basically twice the megapixels as my previous camera. I think each file is about 61 megapixels. So it's having trouble really processing that with all the memory. So that's what I'm using at the moment. And I'm thinking of maybe going over to Affinity for infrared photo editing, just because that seems to be easier with the channel swapping. But primarily I'm using Windows for just for editing photos at the moment.
Okay, so is anyone using any mobile devices or editing on cameras or tablets or anything like that? Or is it all on desktop class computers?
Yes, so we're going to obviously talk about our travels. I tried to edit on my Samsung S11 Ultra tablet, and unfortunately, I didn't have enough memory, so I had to edit everything locally off the micro SD card that was stored in there. And it was just a nightmare, even though it was a fast card. The whole system, it worked, but it didn't work. It really wasn't optimized, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So it was just very laggy, and it wasn't a nice experience. I think if you're going to edit photos, a tablet's okay, but I think for me personally, I need a desktop. Obviously, the interface, having a pen, you know, on a tablet screen is great for editing, but really you need a mouse to do those finer granular controls, I think, at least for me, with something like Photoshop or Affinity Photo, which is actually available on the iPad. If you have that with a keyboard on the iPad, that's great. But without it, I think you lose a lot of functionality with a tablet.
Chris, don't Sony encourage you to try and do things from a Sony phone on other Sony devices like tablets or whatever?
There is compatibility. Like the Sony phones you can use as like a viewfinder for Sony cameras, which is quite an upgrade over something like an Atomos that would cost you a couple of grand to get a screen above the camera. You can just use a phone.
Yep.
And obviously you got all the high resolution, but in terms of editing, you're just kind of constricted to the OS, whether it be Android or iPad or whatever. But what I was going to say was that, similar to Charlie, we're going to talk about it later, but all the photos that I got from Marrakesh, they're all edited on my iPad Pro.
Oh, okay.
I didn't edit any of them on MacBook, so they were edited in the hotel on the day. And I created a preset and managed all the files through Lightroom on the iPad. But that's more of a Lightroom thing than an iPad thing.
Yeah, but you didn't feel constricted,
not for those images. For street photos, which again we'll come to later, they're kind of, the edits are a lot more marginal. If you're doing some of the more advanced architectural stuff where you're sort of creating selections and creating motion blur or flipping images and things like that, then I have tried that on an iPad, and it's basically impossible. You have to use a mouse and a proper desktop application to do it. So it really depends on the images that you're editing. But I sometimes, like if I'm out, I'll quickly transfer a photo to my phone and I'll edit it on there if it's something I know I can edit on the phone. So I've done that as well, but you can't beat a proper MacBook, to be honest.
Okay, and Ian, desktop just for you?
Yeah, just the MacBook. I mean, I do edit a little bit on my phone with Lightroom, and I do have one of the original iPad Pros, the M1. It's really old now and battered, and it's heavier than my MacBook, so I don't tend to carry that around with me, because as I say, the MacBook is, you get more functionality with that than the iPad, and you just, for me, you feel compromised all the time, and it wastes time trying to get over those things by using an iPad. But for quick edits and things, I can transfer onto my phone and then do a quick edit to post something quickly to Instagram, rather than try to put it through my MacBook.
Cool. Okay, thanks a lot, Rohan. Good question. And anyone else that wants to throw any questions in the pot for the panel, then please do so. Let's move into the theme of the evening, which is all those lovely travels. Let's see who would like to go first. I think Charlie, you've made some quite extensive notes there, as well as Chris. Who wants to go first?
Well, I haven't actually made any notes, Ted. I think that's probably Chris.
Oh.
Yes, all me.
Right.
Yeah, I think let's let Chris speak about it first, and then I'll kind of chip in.
Yeah, so Charlie and myself, we spent 3 nights in Marrakesh last weekend. We arrived Wednesday night, and we came back Saturday night. So basically, we had 2 full days in Marrakesh. I think I'll just mention what I wanted to get out of it before going, and maybe Charlie can talk about what he was expecting from it, because I think we're both sort of at a different stage of the sort of things that we want to photograph at the moment. So for me, I feel like I've kind of dug the world of architecture and cityscapes and exhausted everything I can do in that kind of genre. I feel like I'm just getting quite predictable with my images, and street photography is not something that I've done for quite a long time, you know, dedicated sessions of just going out and doing street photography. So for me, this whole trip was about totally dedicated to being street photography. And I thought it would challenge me, because all the photos I've been taken are kind of premeditated. I want to go to a location, I kind of know the shot I'm going to get. But obviously street photography is going to be a totally dynamic situation. It'd be unpredictable, and it'll be a country I've never been to before. So I felt like it would help my creativity, help me be a better photographer perhaps. So something like Marrakesh, just it seemed like the perfect street location. It's only a few hours on the plane, it's cheap to get there. So just for that kind of creative push, I was quite looking forward to it. Another thing I wanted to do on this trip was limit my lenses. In the end, I had no choice, because EasyJet are comical with the amount of luggage they let you take. So I could take one lens, basically, and Charlie was kind enough to lend me his 35 GM Prime, which is an absolute stellar lens. It's the sharpest lens I've probably ever used. It's commands a hefty price tag, but I think it's well worth it. So the only camera gear I had was literally just my Sony a7R5 and one lens, the 35mm Prime. So it just removed the lens paralysis. So when I'm out a lot of the time with a bag of lenses, I'm thinking, oh, which lens should I use? Or even if I just got a zoom, you're sort of going back and forth, but this really helped sort of strip everything away. And that kind of led to my third goal from this trip, was no cropping, no Photoshop, and no object removal in the edit. So I wanted to sort of not be so over stylized with my edits and try and keep all the images, you know, natural, still sort of stylized as my images are, but not too over the top. But what I didn't really account for, and then perhaps this is where Charlie might want to chime in as well, is how hostile the people of Marrakesh are to having their photo taken. They were,
I should
very
preface that as hostile, yeah, with a capital H.
Yeah. They, I don't know if you, have you ever been, Ian?
Actively hostile. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if your experience mirrors ours, but it was Ramadan. I don't know whether that affected how angry they were, but they were very angry people. For example, the very first morning, I got my camera out of the bag. That's all I did, just got the camera out of the bag. Had my little backpack that EasyJet allowed me to take, and some guy just shouted "no photo" immediately at me, and that was my first interaction.
Didn't even think
basically
your camera was out the bag, was it? It was like,
I think it was like, yeah, half out. And I was like, yeah, right, okay. So that was kind of set the tone. It was quite a stressful place to sort of move around in. The people they were always sort of coming at you, going, don't go here, come with me, come this way. So there was quite a lot of street hustling going on. So day one was a real challenge for me, and I know for Charlie as well. Every time you pointed your camera at someone, you just got glared at or they shouted at you. So you kind of had to work around that. So what I started to do was sort of focus more on light and geometry for the first few hours. The weather was actually really good. It was bright sunshine for both the full days we were there. And Marrakesh is full of tight alleyways, so there's some interesting geometry and it creates some very harsh contrast with sunlight. I'll probably talk about the other photos that I've taken, but for me, the whole trip was kind of worth it for this one image that I took, which was taken on the first morning as we were sort of walking around the main market area before it all kicked off, before it was sort of fully open. And it's of a chap kind of pushing some luggage from sort of an outside area into like a covered area.
That's fabulous.
There's a guy following in this behind him on a bicycle. I was sort of fishing this spot. I came across this spot and I saw this pocket of light. So I sort of stayed here for, you know, for about 10 minutes or so, photographing the people as they sort of came and went. And this was definitely the pick of the photos. Quite lucky.
Those two blokes didn't seem bothered by your presence there.
No, this is the thing. If you find sort of people that are doing something else, if that makes sense, then they're okay. They're just sort of moving through the scene.
Right.
It's when you sort of pick them out, that's where you have trouble. But also, this was quite early. This was sort of about 7:30 or something like that. So that's why the sun is so kind of harsh, because it's not risen yet and it's shining through this backlit scene. But yeah, I was quite lucky with this because a truck or something had just come through and it kicked up all this dust. So it creates kind of this haze. For me, the whole trip was kind of worth it just for this one image.
How did you get the light bouncing onto his jumper from the front? Is there something shiny? Did you do that in post-edit?
Yeah, so I did raise the shadows slightly, because in the raw file, because the dynamic range is so strong, basically the whole of the front is black because it's exposed for the brighter scene. So I did raise the shadow slightly. I think it works better as a smaller image. I uploaded this to Reddit and it ended up becoming my most popular post ever. I got over 10,000 upvotes.
Wow.
Across three.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I was really, really, it went, you know, very strong engagement on that. But on a bigger image, on a bigger screen, I think I would bring the shadows down a little bit. It's a bit too flat, but it works better as like a thumbnail image where it's a bit more punchy like this. So for me, the trip was worth it for this image. I did get quite a few other street photos that are in the album. Most of this was sort of on day two, when I was a bit more accustomed to what to expect. So I think my favourite image is two along from the chap pushing the luggage, but it's sort of four women sort of chatting.
Oh, yeah.
And they're sort of anchoring the right side of the frame, and two of them are looking right at me, and then you've got, like, the leading line into the back of the frame. So that's my favourite street image. Sort of pure street, and then of course the chap pushing the luggage is the real banger image I got from the trip. But I was really surprised by how sort of hostile the people were and how much of a struggle it was. But I think Charlie might want to chime in, so I've been rabbiting on for a little bit now.
Well, I think Marrakesh is probably the worst place I've ever been for photography, Ted. It was, as Chris said, you know, it was hostile. It was a hostile environment. Chris did get shouted at. At one point, I looked back and there was a man interrogating him in his camera, and he wasn't having any of it.
Yeah, I nearly got into a fight with someone at the end of day one. Yeah.
For someone like sleeping on a motorbike or something, and Chris was pretending to take a picture of the street, whether he was or not, I don't know. And this guy immediately jumped up from his motorbike and started questioning him. I wasn't in earshot though.
He demanded to see the pictures that I'd taken, and I refused with increasing ferocity. And then he just kind of backed away. But yeah, it was a bit ridiculous.
Right. Are they? Maybe they're just sick of tourists, are they?
They seem to hate tourists, but it's the whole economy of the town's dependent on them, so it's kind of a paradox.
Yeah.
But what I didn't understand is, you know, I've been to a few countries like in Asia, and it's like almost a completely different mindset. If you go to like Vietnam or Thailand, they're much more relaxed. It's almost the opposite in the sense that you have people wanting you to take their photo and they're actually getting in the way of your compositions and you don't want that, or they're smiling or they're posing and it looks fake, so you don't want that either. But in Marrakesh, it was the complete opposite. People would see you looking at them and then they'd like come up to you and question you why you've got a camera, you know, don't take my photo, before you've even taken the photo. It was a bit like that. Very difficult.
Right.
Yeah, it was a struggle, to be honest. But I did get kind of a few street shots that I am happy with. I put them in the album. I'm not going to go through them all sort of one by one, but I don't know if there's any there that I know you like the most kind of candid stuff, Ted, like the ladies on the on the fruit and veg stand might be more your
candidacy. Yes, definitely. I like the fruit and veg stand one particularly, because that to me is very street. And also the lady sticking her head out the door and her friend propping up the wall the other side. And to me, that's real street. That's stuff going on and just ignoring you and, you know.
Yeah.
Life.
I quite like that one because that's one that I sort of purposely composed. It had like the layering sort of back to front, so I quite enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice that all the pictures are all women because it sounds terrible, but they're not going to beat you up like the fellas will do. It was a challenge. How did you find it, Ian, when you were in Marrakesh?
Yeah, I was there for a work trip, but I did find when we were going through, and there was I think there was a guy with like rabbits or something like that, and went to attempt to take a photo, and he wanted money to you to take a photograph. But I'm with you when you're going through the sort of the markets and everything. It's a very aggressive environment. They're trying to drag you into stalls and everything.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have that, the range for what you could take is brilliant. So I guess without that aggression and not wanting the photographs taken, I think that there's some really good shots there. But it's sometimes quite intimidating with street photography anyway, because I feel really self-conscious when I've got a camera out and I make out that I'm not shooting somebody, but I am trying to shoot them and things like that. So if they're being aggressive as well, I'd probably just pack it up and go to the pub or something. So
I think what Charlie did, in the end. But I mean, the thing is, in other countries or in this country, you know, if you annoy one person, you annoy one person. But there, they all gang up on you. I took a photograph of some people doing some building work, and then someone totally unrelated to the scene or them started having a go at me and said I should pay them for taking their picture.
Mm.
And it was just kind of that non-stop. So it was quite exhausting. And you know, me and Charlie get up early and we were out all day and we were knackered by 4 o'clock because we'd have a whole day of sort of saying no and, you know.
it got so bad that I actually gave up and I ended up going in shops saying, can I take a photo, you know, of what's in the shop and stuff. And every single place I went to, they said no, or they actually said, one woman said, oh, hang on, and then she went to the back of her shop and then she came out with a little sign that said no in English with a picture of a camera on it with a line for it. And it took her like a minute to find the sign just to show it to me.
It's really organized.
That was the kind of reception I was getting.
It's organized.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Every shop has a no photo sign on it. It's, it's kind of funny. But like I've written on the notes there, by day two, I was a bit more relaxed and I just kind of found the whole thing kind of absurd in a way. So I kind of embraced it. And I think that's when I got my best pictures, when I just sort of gave up.
I do like the one in the way, isn't it? I do like the one with the guy pushing the motorbike in the centre of the marketplace, as you probably would have predicted with me as well. You know, again, more real street stuff. And the composition of that and the colours and the busy frame. I really, really like that one as well.
Well, when I took that picture, I thought, oh, Ted's probably going to like that, because it just captures captures the scene, doesn't it? It tells you what it was like when you were there. So, in that way, I kind of think the street photos work. But for me, I kind of like something a bit more intentional, I suppose, which is where I got the luggage cart pushing guy. I think that's that ticks every box for me. The others, they're okay. I'm considering the challenges we had, I'm kind of really happy with what I got.
I think on this trip we swapped, didn't we, Chris? We swapped roles.
Yes. So
like in the past, Chris was always, I used to mock him, I used to call him building boy, you know, always shooting architecture, and I was always doing street. But we just completely swapped. Now I'm doing more architectural stuff. I'm not really interested in street anymore. My last Asia trip, I didn't do any street photography. It was all architecture focused. So I'm moving in that direction. And on this trip, obviously, Chris just did street and nothing else. And I tried to do the opposite. And Marrakesh is the worst place to really do architecture, I think. The buildings are, although they have some magnificent buildings, it's everything's the same color. And when you have the light on it, it's difficult to get the right composition, I find. So I was really struggling in that environment, I think, for architecture.
I really like just to mention some of the photos, the graffiti one with the face of the graffiti and the guy walking towards you. I think that's really cool. I do like that. That's for me, that's probably my favorite one of the shots there, Chris.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But again, I'm not sure if I have any taste or anything, but
personally, everyone's different. Yeah, I came away from that one unscathed. I think that's the only photo with a male in it as well.
So,
Charles, I actually like the photo with you've got a man walking with a jacket in an alleyway, and then you've got three women, and then there's like a woman in beige and then two women in black cloaks either side. That's actually quite a good photo.
Yes, I like that because it's got like the layering, it's got the vanishing point at the end.
Yeah, so there's like a dialogue or something going on between the women. That's actually quite good.
They're probably talking about this weird man that keeps pointing cameras at them.
The orange colour of the walls, a couple of yours, Charlie, has highlighted that, and some of Chris's. And one photograph I saw, which doesn't appear to be here, reminded me of a Nintendo kind of Super Mario game with the blue sky and the orange wall and the bit of greenery. I'm guessing that was probably one you took on the phone, so it's not here and wasn't taken on the camera. But
Was that the one with the palm tree looking up?
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't. It was one of just a wall.
And the row of trees.
You carry on talking and I'll find it. I think it's probably in PSC photos.
Hang on, I can stick it on. It's in there now.
Oh, is it?
Is it this one?
Has it gone on the bottom? No. Has it gone on the top? No. Where is it? Where have they put it? Maybe I need to refresh
it.
Oh, right, yeah. I'll refresh the album. Yes, absolutely. That's the kind of thing. Super Mario game. But that wasn't actually the one I was thinking of, Chris. It was...
Do you mean the one that's straight on a wall?
Yes, it's just a wall.
I took that on an iPhone mini, Ted, so
right,
I didn't want to put that in the album.
That's what I guessed.
I'll be in big trouble.
But my point was that colour of that wall was really interesting. It's very kind of pastely shades, and Charlie got some of that as well, I think.
Which photo are you talking about?
where you've got the kind of orangey wall, and I think one of your photographs is looking into a curtain. Let me find it again. Yeah, looking into down a narrow lane with orange wall on the left and right, then lots of sun, and then the blue sky above it.
Oh, yes, there's two of those photos. Chris has got one with a boy on a bike,
yes,
and I've got
right.
one with no subject. Yeah, that's a really good one. Actually, it's a funny story there. We were, we both saw this anyway, and we both thought, all right, this is a fantastic composition. We just need a subject. And as we were standing there talking, we both had our cameras around our necks. We weren't holding our cameras. Our arms were just by our side. And at the end of this photo, where you see the archway, it's about maybe 50, 60 meters, a woman came round the corner. And as soon as she saw us, she just put her hands in the air. And she said, no photo, no photo. So we shouted back to her, no photo, no photo. And we kind of replicated her body movement to put our hands in the air. And she kept on saying it. So we kept on saying it back to her. And it was like this back and forth, like ridiculous scenario where she realized the absurdity of her actions. We were just like mocking her for it, and we didn't take her photo. But when I put my camera up jokingly saying, oh, photo, she's like, ah, no photo, you know. So that's weird. What we were dealing with in Marrakesh. But it's a good composition. It's a good photo, I think, both Chris's and mine, where there's that archway with the boy in. I thought that was quite an interesting area.
Talking of the boy, were the children any more willing to have their photos taken?
For money, yes.
Right.
Yeah. If the price is right, Ted, you can take anyone's photo.
They'd run up to you. And in many instances, I'd just be walking normally, not pointing my camera at anything. And then children would be posing in the street saying, oh, photo, photo. Maybe, you know, 5, 10, 15 meters away from me, trying to get me to come towards them to take their photo.
Right, right.
All you have to do is make eye contact, and then they want money. So, you know, it's difficult, you know, because obviously I don't want to take their photo, and they're like hassling you to take a photo.
Very tricky indeed.
It was an experience for sure.
So TripAdvisor, and how many stars would you give it as a photography trip?
Well, when the best bit of the trip is the EasyJet flight, you know you're in trouble.
That one you've added with the palm trip with the trees and the wall, though, that is really nice. I like the way in which the composition works with that, and your eye is drawn right down into the end of that alleyway, into a very distant kind of almost spot, and the building on the left just makes it, I think, as well in the contrasting colour to the wall.
Yeah, that was more like an image that I was trying not to take, but I kind of couldn't help myself, and I edited it in a way that I normally would as well, with the teal and the orange. But it was kind of an easy one, that one. But it is pleasing, I agree. It's kind of Wes Anderson, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I think that's a good call. And the pharmacy one is very kind of street. It looks, all the buildings look as though they're the same. I suppose they're all made of reflective stuff for the sun.
They are all the same colour and the same material. What I will say is, from what I was saying earlier about what I wanted to do when I was here, was sort of stripping everything back, is that, as I mentioned before, I did edit everything on the iPad, but I created a preset from, I can't remember which one, but I edited one of the images first, and then I just saved that as a preset, which I then applied to every single image, so they all have the same colouring. And that's why there's kind of consistency between them, is that they've all been sort of, they've all got the exact same preset put on them, and it also helped my editing flow, because you can just copy and paste.
Chris, when you say you did a preset, did you, what about the masking? So it's a preset with no masking?
No masks. I don't think the only image that had masks on, I think, was the luggage man.
Okay.
I think the others were just a preset and maybe a tweak to exposure. I don't recall putting a mask on any of the other street photos.
And Charlie, your one with the red wall and the air conditioning units going up into the white and then the blue sky. I think that the that you know, in terms of architecture, that's really interesting and kind of works looking up again. You like looking up, don't you?
Well, I think that was the point where I gave up, Ted. I think you have to look up when you're in a place like Marrakesh, because you can't just walk around at eye level at anything or anyone. You know, you just get shouted at least that was my case. So I was constantly looking up, trying to find different interesting shots and that. And I took about 400 or 500 pictures, I think, on the trip. And out of that, I think I had maybe 5 or 10 images that were okay, but certainly nothing special. So it was a waste of money, I think, in terms of holidays.
Well, just imagine, imagine if you were shooting film.
well, I think I'd have to call it a day when I give up photography.
Cool. Okay. So anything else from Morocco before we turn to Ian?
I don't think so for me. As I say, I got that one, what I would call kind of a banger image. So, as sad as it sounds, you know, spending sort of 3 days in a country, a horrible country, you get one good photo out of it, kind of makes it all worthwhile for me.
Sure. Yeah. And it's a real cracker. Yeah. So well done. And it deserved all those hits. Ian, where have you been?
Yeah, I went a little bit further afield. I went to Shanghai. So was there for 8 days. I was there shooting the Grand Prix, which was a great opportunity. Really enjoyed it, but it was a 14-hour flight out there. I had a sort of a day to acclimatize to try and get myself sorted on the jet lag, which was a challenge. And then I was into sort of four days of working sort of 14 hours, probably about 10,000 images taken, 500 images sort of published for the agency. But again, a really good experience. And going to China, comparing it to Japan, I think the culture is very, very different. I guess, Chris and Charlie, you've been to Japan at least once, I guess.
Yeah, we went to Tokyo for 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah. So the whole politeness and everything that you have in Japan, and the order and everything is completely out the window in China. One thing you found, that people are very rude, but also very, very few people speak English, which kind of works for me. As long as I say hello, goodbye, and thank you. It was pretty good for me. But for me, it was really a work trip, and the opportunity to shoot the Grand Prix, which was, again, a great experience, great track. And there's some I didn't include any of the shots in the album because everyone's seen shots of cars and stuff. But I had sort of 4 days of working and then one day downtown. So I had a hotel downtown and with the intention to go out and shoot the city for a day. That turned into a bit of a half a day, to be honest with you. But it was a good experience. There wasn't any massive intention planning. After I'd got through the Grand Prix and had sort of running on 5 hours sleep a night, I just wanted to try and experience and see something of Shanghai, which I managed to do in a bit of a rush on the Monday before flying back on the Tuesday.
Some interesting night shots, I see.
Yeah, so I stayed just outside Shanghai for the Grand Prix track is just outside. Traffic is horrendous. So I got a hotel for the sort of final night. So I was out in the afternoon shooting. So there is a little bit about Old Town to get some shots, and I wanted to get some shots of what it was like, and a little bit of the culture. For me, it started off as maybe to try and get some images, but it was really to just experience it. And again, very, very different. Say from the very old. One thing I said to my wife was it was like going back in time, but also being in the future. It's a really bizarre kind of environment. But I would definitely go back. I think it's got massive scope. I think you could do a trip to China. It's relatively inexpensive to get there. It's very, very inexpensive when you're there as well, compared to Tokyo and Japan. So I would definitely, if I had an opportunity to go back, I would. And I may even, if I had the opportunity to do that rather than Tokyo, I'd probably try China rather than that. There's so much diversity there, from the old cultural stuff as well as all of the neon sort of cities. But I started off in Old Town and wanted to get some street photography. So there were people, and I'd say there was a lot of the red lanterns. I did sort of camp for a little bit outside of building to get people on the motorbikes and bicycles going past. I did have two lenses, the wide angle, the 14 to 24, and my 24 to 70 out with me, but I only had a small bag and just walking around. But I was reasonably happy with getting a panning shot of someone on a bike and in front of the lanterns. But with the angle of taking it, it's not perfect. And every time I look at it, I'm not particularly happy with it. But it was something that I probably spent a good half an hour waiting to try and get the right person to get a shot. And I don't think I got what I wanted to on that. And that was the one with the guy with a yellow jacket outside the building.
Have you tried fixing the perspective in Lightroom or Photoshop?
Yeah, I did. As I say, I was quite close on the road and I was shooting sort of at 14. There were some interesting people where, to say, there's people with everything, with boxes and everything on the moped. As I say, there was definitely stuff there to shoot, but I struggled a little bit with it, and I didn't want to waste too much time. And so I only had really sort of a half a day and an evening to try and get round and experience it. But yeah, I would say I've only really had an opportunity to have a play around with the edit and on the plane on the way back and see what I had really. So it was a bit of a mishmash of pictures of people. I did like, there is one of alley shots, I guess similar to the alleys in Marrakesh. I like the one, there was a guy on a yellow motorcycle with a guy in a black motorcycle, and shot from just from a post which had yellow and black on it. To me, that sort of worked a little bit. So I thought that was okay. There was food markets. I don't think I got what I wanted from there, but I had some really good lunch there, so it wasn't a wasted trip. So,
yeah.
This photography was secondary, and so the afternoon was spent around the old town. There was some interesting people to shoot and bits you could shoot. Then I went to the more commercial bit, and it actually threw it down with rain, which was really cool. So that was my highlight. There was a lot of there's Nanking Street, which is the main street, the main shopping street, and it was throwing it down with rain, and there were great reflections. So I was really happy with some of those. I was probably more happy with the shot I got on my phone than maybe the ones on my camera. I say it was an experience, and again, the reflections and everything. I used a couple of presets like Chris. I had a preset for during the day, which was quite a warm glow, and then a separate one for sort of a neon, very blue preset that I could just overlay onto there, which was kind of fun. But say for me, the highlight was the sort of the neon streets.
The one with the white, is it a bus or a tram?
Yeah. Yeah,
That's obviously that's the best one, isn't it? It's fantastic.
It's really, I say the shopping and everything. I was like in a kid in a toy shop, because it was so much. It was technology shops, it was toy shops, and it was a shopping experience that if Carlsberg did shopping experiences for an old geek, it was really there. And I got hold of the trifold Samsung phone and all of the Huawei stuff that we don't see over here, and I was sort of torn between going in shops and actually taking photographs. So it was more of a tourist and some snapshots rather than anything with intent, to be honest with you.
I see it's 2000 ISO. I think that little bit of sort of noise adds to that image quite a lot, actually. A bit of texture in there. I think it works really well.
Trying to shoot as I think it was shot at 2.8 and had it on auto ISO and from that side. But I think the massive difference is that with the challenges of Marrakesh and people not wanting to be shot, there was no problems whatsoever with shooting people and getting quite close to people and shooting them. That wasn't a problem. And I had my big Z8 camera, which is quite cumbersome. And you could definitely see you coming around the corner with that sort of size camera. So that's the other benefit. But I think if one of my regrets is maybe not doing an extra day there, because I think there's definitely photos to take there. There's so much, and the street sellers and the street food, as well as the skyline. I wasn't, because of the weather was pretty awful, I wasn't particularly happy with the skyline shots, but the experience, it was more around the experience, and the photos more of reminders of the experience of being there, rather than being anything technically brilliant, to be honest with you.
Was it busy? It looks very quiet on the streets.
Yeah, it was throwing it down with rain. So
scared them off.
It was super busy, and the where you've got that little picture of the tram, you have these little cars going up and down, these little trains with transporting people along the high street. As I say, the technology thing, there is some really very, I mean, if you like Blade Runner, some of the police boxes and stuff like that is straight out of Blade Runner and everything. It was really very, very cool. So so for me, it was more of enjoying the experience and taking some photos rather than super intent on actually getting something that I would put into my portfolio or anything like that. So
cool, very nice indeed. My favorite shot of those, Chris, which is my favorite shot of those?
Hang on. It's got to be the woman reading the book, or the woman with the blue hat.
No, you failed.
No,
it's the woman. It's the woman at work making chicken or whatever it is. I think that's a super street study of someone at work, just getting on, not looking at the camera, and to me, that's perfect street photography. I really like that image. But there's some...
I actually like the policeman in the little car. I actually think that's really cool.
What is that, a buggy, a police buggy?
Yeah, it's I mean, they have these, I'll have to try and dig it out and pop it in there, but they have these police, not stations, but sort of police boxes, like TARDISes everywhere. There is a massive police contingent of, I mean, you feel totally secure there. The, even around the sort of the skyline, every few hundred yards, you put a policeman or a security guard. That you're never going to get mugged there or anything like that. Say it's not Yakuza or anything like that from Japan. It is polar opposite. You do feel very, very, very safe there. But yeah, I would say, I think as a photography trip, I mean, my flight wasn't that expensive, and you can get, I could have got a return economy if you wanted to do economy, for probably under £500, which value for money, of two 14-hour, 15-hour flights to get there. And once you are there, as say, it is ridiculously cheap compared to other places. And the hotel rooms aren't tiny like they are in Japan, so that's another benefit.
Did you have any trouble with any kind of, you know, formalities, customs or airports or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think with visas and everything, it's really simple now, but I had to have a journalist visa. So I had to go into London to do that and then back into London to pick it up.
I remember you saying about that, yeah.
But I had to do a declaration as well for my cameras. So I had to go down the something to declare channel, which was the first. And then they didn't speak hardly any English. So it was sort of, I had this form and they were like, I don't know what you're here for. So that took a long time. And then they said, oh, they sealed all my bag up. And then said, oh, we've got to check it. And I was like, I've only got cameras. So I've got not carrying anything. So that was a bit problematic. But also on the way back, you're given a letter when you come through because you're declaring bringing the cameras in, and you needed to put that letter back in. And they said, well, you need to be at the airport 3 hours before because of the challenges of customs. But I gave them the letter and they were like completely disinterested. So, once you're there, I think it's great. The really brilliant thing is payments. You have Alipay connected to your cards. You have the Didi app, which is the Uber app, which is directly in the Alipay. Getting taxis and paying for things just by using the QR code is genius. It's fantastic. It's so much far ahead. There's no cash at all. It's super easy. So getting around it.
We won't tell you about the pain of using a taxi in Marrakesh. I mean, that's that's a story in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had the better trip.
Yeah, even in Abu Dhabi, I went for a work trip there and got the taxi and they wanted cash. And I was like, I've got no cash. And I forced the hotel to pay the taxi driver. Is like, I've got no cash. I don't do cash. But say China wise, say it's just one app that you have. You don't have any cards. I never took my wallet out with me. You don't have Apple Pay or anything. You just have this one app. Do everything through the app. It's super simple.
Cool.
I would recommend.
Thanks, Ian. That's good. Charlie, before we go, there's three or four images at the top which don't look very much like Marrakesh. I don't think you mentioned those. Did you want to just...
Oh, yes. I actually went to London twice, just before I went to Marrakesh, and also yesterday. So these are some of the photos just really from my trip. I actually did it in preparation for Marrakesh. You know, I wanted to get ready, you know, taking some photos. And, you know, obviously in Marrakesh, it was nothing like London, so I didn't take anything. But these are all architectural shots. various locations. One is the, I don't actually know what it is. It's an accounting building. I think it's Ernst & Young. It's called the Batman building. So that's the image you see there, which looks like the Batman logo.
That's the one with the blue semicircle.
Yes. Yeah. So I went for like a high contrast. So the sky would go white and the building was obviously dark. And I really like that image. Mm-hmm. It's quite a simple edit. I just color graded it in Lightroom quite quickly. Then I've got another one. I can't remember the name of the station. I think it was Southwick or Southwark Station, which is all chrome. Chris has also got the same image. I think he went for a black and white look. I went for color, but I desaturated it to enhance the silver. So I really like that image. Mm-hmm. I took two exposures and blended them together in Photoshop to keep the highlights intact. I didn't want them blown out. So I really like that image. I thought that was quite cool.
Hmm.
And the next one is the Standard Hotel, I believe.
I've shot that before. That's an epic building, yes. Isn't it? I mean, it's the I did a super wide shot of that, and with the lift halfway down, it's a really cool building.
I wanted the lift to move actually, but it's on its kind of like pedestal thing. I actually took many shots of it, and in the end, I went to the traffic island to get closer up, and I just like that. That image there, I took it with the 14-24 Samyang on my Sony. So that's quite good. But what I did was I cloned the left half of the image to the other side just because it wasn't perfect and I didn't want that in my photo. So the other half is cloned. And then the next one is one of the underground stations. I think it's called Bermondsey Station or Bermuse Station. I can't quite remember the name. So I was actually, I planned this shot and I was waiting for the train to come past. Do slow shutter speed at 1/20th of a second. And then I desaturated the tunnel and then kept the color on the way out signs and obviously the color on the train. I thought that was quite cool, quite an unusual shot.
Hmm.
And then the final one is the fake airplane photo. So it was a lookup of this triangular image near St. Paul's. I thought that was quite interesting. There was actually a plane overhead, but it wasn't really in the center. So I cheated and I added one in Photoshop. And then I put a color gradient over the plane and I crushed the blacks to make it look more realistic, so I didn't just like kind of copy and paste a plane there.
Do you know, I didn't even notice that plane. Perhaps it should have been bigger.
So it's a fake plane. And then the final image is the one I took yesterday. I still have a few more to edit, which is the underground sign by Westminster with Big Ben. What I did was I took two separate images and I merged them together because I couldn't get the right perspective from taking it normally holding the camera. I had to merge them together and fix the mask them both out and then added them back in and fixed the perspective and cropped it and then color graded it in Lightroom. As I was trying to take the image, it was difficult because there was a man, there was like a building site there. And he had like an angle grinder and there were like sparks flying all over me as I was trying to take the photo looking up. So it was difficult to do because the sparks were like going on my hands and my arms and it was hot. So I wasn't expecting that in London really. That's just my London shots. They're kind of basic architectural shots. I've kind of pivoted and moved away from street photography, but I'm sure I'll go back to it. You know, it's just like a pattern, isn't it? You move between different things after a while. So, yeah.
Go swapsies. Swapsies.
Swapsies, exactly.
Okay, cool. There is a picture of a car, Ian, I just noticed. Not in the album, but in our recording notes. Was that just for our benefit?
Yeah, it was just for benefit. I've got quite a few from the race and stuff. I was going to do a couple of posts, but The one good thing about this track, it was very up and down, and I was on the grid, and you can get the cars coming down, so you can get very, very low. So my camera was flat on the ground and shooting the cars as they were coming to the grid. This is just one example of those. There was another one which was even further up, so the car was right at the top of the frame, and you got a lot of sort of dead space underneath it, which I kind of liked. So I just put that in there because I didn't have any car photos in the photo album, so I felt I was missing out. So
good photo, like it. Okay, thanks very much to you all for your travel stuff. I think we probably covered it all, haven't we? I can't see anything that we've missed, I don't think. There is one snippet of news, Chris, if you want to cover it. Do you still or not? He's gone. Chris has cleared off, look.
No, I'm still here. Sorry. Let's check it on next time, Ted.
Go on the right, okay.
A bit more we'll to fill it out, yeah.
Okay, well, I think we're probably kind of done then. We haven't spoken about next show with regards to a theme, so if anyone's got any ideas, then do throw it forward. And I don't know when that will be. In 2 weeks' time would be ideal, but are you three here in 2 weeks' time on Thursday?
Yep, I'll be around.
Yeah,
I should be, yeah.
Yeah, should be. Let's go for that then. We'll go for 2 weeks today, and we'll pick things up then. Okay, thanks very much for listening to those who have made it this far. TedSalmon.com/camera creations is our website. MeWe Group is where we discuss all this and throw photos around and have a good time, so join that if you like. Links to all of that is at TedSalmon.com, as well as our other audio podcasts, and that's about it really. So we'll catch you in 2 weeks' time on the Camera Creations podcast.